The scriptures for the message today, as we turn to God's Word, reading from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And he said, "Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But you also will weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." And then from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious word. All kinds of things jump in your head when you think about Christmas. What is it the night before Christmas said about the children going to bed and visions of sugar plums danced in their heads? And we understand all of that. And so much of what we celebrate at this day is an American Christmas. It's an Americanized Christmas. It's not just what goes on, you know, in Bethlehem and all of that, but it's what goes on in America. And so much of Christmas has to do with that. It doesn't have a lot of snow. I mean, we think if we don't have, I heard people talking in a store this week, and they were talking about a white Christmas, and we got to have a white Christmas. Used to have the Williamses when I went to work for them, had some ladies that came and were cooks and housekeepers. And I remember Miss Geneva, bless her heart, if there was a green cemetery at Christmas, she was terrified because it had to be white. If it was white, then we'd have a green cemetery in the summer. But if the cemetery was green at Christmas, then that means we're going to be digging a lot of graves this year. Well, I'm glad that life does not depend on the stars passing by, and I'm glad it doesn't depend on superstitious. But we have our thoughts. Snow, I guess my mother's favorite song for this time of year was "Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow." She could get in trouble with that. Somebody get her for that, wouldn't they? That was a brand new song when she and my dad were courting. And the song had just come out, and they, everywhere they went in Washington, D.C., which is where they were, they heard that playing on the jukebox or whatever was going on, and it stuck in their minds. We associate Christmas with the decorations and the candles and the food and all the things we do, and then wonderfully it's a time for families to get together, which has been put a crimp in last year and somewhat this year. But we look at all of those things, and as we look back over the years, we look back with a sweetness that's bittersweet. We look back with a sweetness at things that happened at Christmas time, and then there's a bittersweetness to it because of those who will no longer be there with us, and we have to celebrate the Christmas season without them. And we celebrate it in so many ways. And then on the other hand, I notice at Christmas time there is a goodness sometimes that comes out of me and people. One family every year gives me money to give away. They don't want to know where it goes. They just want to know that I gave it to someone who needs it. Isn't that wonderful? I have a friend who is a funeral director. He and his wife never buy each other a present, but the amount of money they would spend on their presents, they give to someone who needs it. That's a good thing. And that's a good thing if we can think that way, if we can be that way. I don't know what your memories of Christmas are like. Mine are not like yours, I'm sure. I was an only child. So, and my parents didn't believe in Santa Claus. And they didn't have a Christmas tree until I was nearly grown, really. Partly because of mother's convictions. Our mother obeying other people's convictions. And I always knew where the presents come from. I always knew that my parents struggled, that they weren't rich, but they struggled to have it. My grandpa, our grandpa, Sandra, had a store close to us. And this time of the year, there was big boxes of nuts and orange slices and hard candy and all of those kind of things that people liked. And they would come and get. And those are good memories. The house would be full, but I don't remember my grandparents decorating or putting on the dog like we do, simply because I think they were older, and they came from an era that didn't have that. It wasn't available to them. But I'm thankful, as I look back over the years, for those Christmases that were so good. They sent me to Grandma's house, and I knew by the time I got back, my Christmas, whatever I had, was in the front room waiting on me. I knew it didn't come from a sled and a little jolly elf. I knew where it came from. But, I remember with distinction, and I've told you this before, one day it happened that Christmas came on Sunday, which meant we all showed up. We didn't have all-day meeting. It wasn't second Sunday. But we showed up for Christmas at Sunday school. And Sister Effie said, our pastor, she said, why should we come here and just have Sunday school? If this is Christmas and we're celebrating Christ coming to the world, it's totally extemporaneous and unprepared. She said, why don't we worship? So they started singing and playing. And there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that day. People everywhere in the church were worshiping. And as a child, I was a kid, I was a little kid, not real little, but 7 or 8 years old. As a kid, I was aware that that was a special Sunday and that God's Spirit had visited us in a wonderful way. And I remember her walking across the front of the pulpit and looked down and pointed her finger at me, which ordinarily would scare you to death, but she pointed her finger at me and said, he feels it too. She was right. I felt and knew the Holy Spirit of God. And if you don't have anything else this Christmas, if you don't have any extra candy or nuts or fruit, if you don't have any extra clothes, if you don't have any extra money, I hope you have the Holy Ghost. I hope you have the Spirit of God moving and touching and working in your heart, in your life. And I pray that that Spirit will be mellow in you. I pray that it will be sweet. I pray that it will cause you to have a goodness about your life, to change. Sometimes I wish that I had a sack of money and that I could go and watch for the poor to come by to buy what they had, that I could share it with them. And I'm thankful for what we can share. Amen. Scriptures I just read to you have nothing to do with the way an American Christmas is celebrated. It has nothing to do with sleds and North Poles and ice and snow and all those things. It has nothing to do with all the hoopraw that we have. You say it's a sin. No, it's not a sin. Not unless it displaces the real thing. It's okay for you to have holly. I think it's pretty. I think the greenery is wonderful. It's okay for you to have that. It's okay to have lights. Some of the lights are just beautiful. And I'm intrigued with the imagination that people have. That's not a sin, folks. unless it displaces. If all you can think about is what you're going to buy and what you're going to get, and all you can think about is what your earthly experience is, then you missed it. You missed it. One of my favorite stories, and it's a horrible story, really horrible story, and I've told it to you multiple times, but there was a family in New York that had a new baby that Christmas. And they were so happy, so joyous for the baby. And at Christmas time, they were going to take the baby and have it christened in the church, the local church. And everybody gathered in, all the people gathered in. And, you know, there's not enough coat racks for everybody, so they laid their wraps and their outside coats on the bed in the parents' bedroom and piled them up on the bed. And then they went on with their celebration, and it came time to go to the church. They couldn't find the baby. They looked everywhere to find the baby. And finally, they got their wraps to go outside. And when they did, they discovered that the baby was underneath all of those coats and cloaks that they'd laid on the bed. And unfortunately, he couldn't breathe under all of that. And the little baby died. You say, that's a horrible story. Yes, it is. And you know what the problem in that whole thing was? Somebody forgot the baby. This Christmas, my friend, don't forget the baby, okay? Don't cover the baby up and suffocate him with all of the worldly things that we have. If you have extra food, be happy for it. If you have extra clothes, be glad for it. Whatever you have, and share it. My friend, the greatest joy you'll ever have is if you share it. And don't feel like to have a successful Christmas that you've got to have a lot of things. Because I testify to you that all of those things will not make you happy. And they will not fulfill you. But you can be fulfilled with the joy of the Lord, the love of your wife or husband and children, and the things that you have in this world. Sometimes I notice that people send us letters at Christmas time. They're sort of like a journal for the last year. Sometimes they send us letters and tells us what all Johnny's been doing and Sally's been doing and Mary's been doing and where we went here and what we did there. And you say, why do people send that out? Why do people send any letter? Do you know a good portion of the Bible is a compiling of letters? Almost all of the New Testament is a compiling of letters. And as you look at these letters in the Bible, they're there for the same reason that I would send you a letter in the U.S. mail. And you say, what's that? So that you'll know. When I send you a letter, there's something that I want to tell you. There's something that I want you to know. And God, in his infinite mercy and wondrous grace, has sent us messages from heaven. And he sent us messages so that we'll know the truth of the gospel and what God has done for us. Isaiah the prophet lived in a horrible time. Enemy armies were marching all around. The word from God had not been good. Do you read the first part of that I just read? It's one thing for you to weary God, man, but it's another thing for you to just worry God all the time. Now, I have to tell you, folks, God must have awful frayed nerves about now. So as we look at that, we have to think, well, how has God sent us messages? Well, sometimes he gave us visions. Isaiah and the prophets of the Old Testament had wonderful visions and saw into heaven, saw the throne of God, and saw the future that was coming down the pike. So that God spoke to them in visions, and he spoke to people in dreams. He spoke to Joseph in a dream, spoke to Daniel in a dream. God sends us a message. How many of you would say, I think sometime in my life I've had a dream that came from God? Yeah. I think sometimes that's the only time God can get us still enough to speak to us, is when we're asleep. And so while we're asleep, he takes over the avenues of our mind and speaks to us and talks to us. And sometimes we see that, and sometimes we see it in visions. And sometimes he sends us angels. Now, we sing sometimes in our holiness way, King Jesus, won't you send an angel by my way? How many of you have ever thought, I sure wish an angel would come in here and sit down and talk to me? Oh, wouldn't you like to be able just to have that conversation? Well, not many of us have, but some of us have. But I have to tell you, God has his wondrous works. Do you know the word for angels indicates that they're messengers? God has sent messengers. And of course, we don't know their names. We know Gabriel's name, and we know Michael's name. And I guess that's all the good angels we know about. There's another angel, and his name is Lucifer. He's fallen, become an evil person. But God has angels that are special. Michael, when you see Michael stand up and move, you know there's going to be a war. Michael's going to command the armies of heaven, and he's going to come across the sky and do his thing. But when you see Gabriel moving, then you know God's heart's been moved. When you see Gabriel moving, you know that God has sent a special messenger to speak to you. He's the one that came to Mary and told her about having the baby. He's the one that came to Joseph and told him how to flee and how to save the baby and the mother. And Gabriel is a special, so God sends angels. You say, well, that was back in Bible times. Are we serving any different God than they did? I think not. My friend, the wondrous and glorious truth is that God still speaks to us in dreams and visions and by the way of angels. And some people he spoke to by the way of stars, hasn't he? The wise men, ever how many there were, they said something about my tie and they liked it. And I thank you for that, saying that. I think June and Connie got it for me, to tell you the truth. But when I look at the tie, I only had three wise men, and I know there were a lot more than three. That's all the room I have to put on a tie is three. But God spoke to these people through stars, and they were astrologers and astronomers. They were very wise and very smart. And as they looked at the stars, God let one of those stars appear. Oh, it's interesting to hear people argue about it, whether it was a comet or whether what kind of a star it was. Well, it was one that God prepared, sort of like the fish that swallowed Jonah. Don't worry about the anatomy of fishes and swallowing Jonah. God prepared a fish to swallow him, and it did him good. And God prepared a star for the wise men to see. And you say, well, it was a comet. I doubt it. Comets are way off somewhere. This was close enough to guide their direction as they traveled. And when they came back from talking to King Herod, it was close enough to watch the star move from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, about 15 miles, and stand over the place, not the stable, but the place, the house, where the child was, and stand over it. And they said, this is it. This is where it is. And the star was there. So they saw that. And sometimes God speaks to people, yes, in an audible voice. And sometimes we feel like that God can't speak to us and give us a message unless we just have one of these tremendous things, a whirlwind, an earthquake, a cyclone, or all kinds of things like that. We think it has to be. But like Elijah, we may discover that he's standing beside of us and whispering in a still, small voice, his plan, his works, his counsel, his consolation. Last of all, but not least, my friend, God has spoken to us, and the scripture says this in one place, in various and sundry ways, God has spoken to us. But my friend, I want to tell you something. The greatest message that God ever sent, he sent in a little bundle that came from the womb of the virgin. He sent it in the form of a little baby. And my friend, in the middle of all of that chaos in Isaiah's time, did you notice how that God just suddenly broke in and said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and this shall be a sign to you. You shall find a babe. My goodness, this will be a sign to you what? That this baby was virgin born. Never been one before, never been one since. Probably never will be, I don't think. I think he's the only begotten son of the living God. There's some people believe God has a lot of different sons that he's begotten, but that's not what the book says. The book says he's the only begotten son of God. My friends, as you go through this week, I want you to do something for yourself, not for me, but for yourself. For me, you can pray, okay? But for yourself, don't forget the baby. When you put out the music, don't forget the baby's music. When you put out the decorations, don't forget the baby. When you fill the table up with the turkey and the ham and whatever you have, maybe you're like Eric's mother. She always used to have scalloped oysters on Christmas. I'm not against that. We used to have always a homemade lasagna for Christmas. I'm not against that. I'll eat lasagna, oysters, ham, chicken, whatever there is to have, we'll be thankful for it. But whatever it is, my friend, whatever it is, don't forget the baby. Don't forget that God Almighty has sent us a letter, not by the U.S. Postal Service, but by the womb of a virgin. God has sent us a letter. And his letter has come down to this earth to say one thing. It would have been hard to believe at times that God loved us. It would have been so hard to believe that God loved us because he called down from heaven and he's mad. And he threw around his lightning bolts and his thunder claps and all that kind of thing. But my friend, then he comes back and in the midst of it says, but you're going to get a sign. A baby is going to be born of a virgin, and he is going to be the one that you're looking for. And you know who this baby is? Did you read that in Isaiah? This baby is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And he's going to set up a kingdom of which there shall be no end. Think about that. You say, well, I'll be glad when the kingdom comes. The kingdom that God sets up through Christ here on this earth, and I testify to you, it's coming. Jesus will stand on the Mount of Olives. He will walk across the Kidron Valley and through the Eastern Gates. He will ascend to the heights of Jerusalem and sit down on the throne of his father David. My friend, I can tell you one thing. That baby that was born, my friends, is the greatest gift this world ever received. Salvation and redemption has come to mankind. And no, my friend, you cannot sin so much that the grace of God cannot save you. There is no sinner so black and so dark that that baby did not die for him. And that little baby that was born, many years later when that baby was a grown man, standing before Herod and Pilate, and they said to him, don't you know you could be killed for this? Don't you know you could die and all those things? He said, for this cause was I born into the world. He came to live and he came to die. And you know why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise be unto God. Father, this day I thank you for the gift of Christ to the world. I thank you for the gift of salvation and redemption. I thank you for the gift of hope that the Christ child has brought to this world. And I pray, Almighty God, that your spirit and your power we'll go with this congregation through the week. And Lord, in every day and in every way, may we remember the baby. May we celebrate his life by living it through us. May we reach out, Father, to him as he reaches out to us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.